It's been a while since I've talked to Dr. Cass Ingram out of Chicago. And usually when we do talk, it's about oil of oregano, or I know we did the mushroom. We did mushrooms, right? We did mushrooms.
We did everything that grows in the woods in the north.
And so he's been involved with nutritional, healthy, natural healing, especially the ones that don't have side effects. And I've used oil of oregano for many things, mainly with colds and things like that. It's really been huge in making a difference. So now we're going to talk about, first of all, welcome Dr. Cass Ingram. How you doing? Yay!
Long time no see. I hope there are no commercials because I got lots to talk about.
You know what? You are the commercial. How about that? You are the commercial.
There we go.
So we're going to talk about, you have a book about, what is the name? Something to do with Lyme disease?
Yeah, the Lyme disease cure, my friend. You know, about 5 years ago, I was in your neighbor, Wisconsin, over there, and I was in the scrub, and I was doing my research on my herbs and my cures. The last couple days, I didn't take precautions, didn't pull my socks over the pant leg, didn't pay any attention when I got home. I don't know, about a week later, I thought I was going to check out. I felt so darn sick. My head felt I was going to explode. I couldn't walk on one side. I couldn't put my deltoid in my arm. I couldn't put it through a shirt. I felt like I was on fire.
Wow.
I was a sick puppy. And anyway, I figured out I had Lyme disease because I had a bullseye rash on my back. Yeah.
Wow.
So then I wrote the book because I had to get rid of it. I mean, how's a herbalist going to be dying of Lyme disease? You know what I'm saying?
It wouldn't look good for your record, I think.
Yeah, they'd say, hey, he should have got the drugs, you know. So anyway, I did cure it, and I used huge doses of the P73 oil, and got just a few different things, and so I wrote about it in the book, how I did it.
So people, if they're interested, can go to your website, and what is that, if you don't mind, Dr. Ingram?
That one is CassIngram.com, CassIngram.com. And you see the Lyme disease cure, you might see it paired with a spray. Now, there's two things. One, I tell everybody, you don't want to get the Lyme disease. No way.
Right.
You know, let's say a bunch of your friends, somebody up there gets it. I'm not there. You know, I can't be babysitting every. If they don't have my understanding, they could end up with chronic Lyme. It could go to cardiac Lyme. There's not much for drugs. There's just not much for medicine, you know, for it. So they're going to end up with a terrible condition. Go into the joints, cripple them up. It could be Bell's palsy, could be MS, could be Parkinson's.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I tell everybody, yes, you should know what to do to get rid of it. You should know what to do to burn off the tick. You should know all that. But you should also know prevention.
Now, where does this Lyme disease come from? How does
From the deer tick, in nymph especially, the tiny nymph, because they feed on rats and mice and ground squirrels and, you know, vermin. And then on that top of that, the deer, but the vermin give them the spirochete. You see?
Okay, so that is coming from them, and then it's being transmitted to us. And it seems like is it on the increase, do you think?
Yes, it's on the increase dramatically so, to the degree that we expect about 1 million cases hardcore of Lyme this year. It means it's a pandemic.
Now, why?
Also,
why has it become a pandemic, though? Why?
Well, you have lots of mice and rats and rodents and deer and no predation, and then you don't have a deep, cold 40, 50 below winter much anymore. You know what I'm saying?
So that's part of the issue there. Because I was wondering, what would make the change on this? I thought, well, maybe there's more toxins in the environment, but that has nothing to do with it?
No, it's the fact that the weather patterns and moisture and or lack of deep, the extra moisture plus lack of a deep, deep, strong winter, and that'll allow more deer to survive, more mice to survive, more ticks to survive, all. Now, don't forget that Plum Island plays a role here because they did the tick research in the 1960s and 70s, and they released the ticks most likely full of spirochetes, and then it broke out 10 miles from there in Connecticut. And potentially from there, it could have gotten into all of the animals in different areas. So if it's a biological germ, then that makes it difficult to kill. That's been my experience. It was not easy to get the Lyme out. Now, if I had a cold or a flu or a bronchitis or C. diff or something from a hospital germ, I could kill it real quick with oil of oregano, real quick. E. coli, real quick. Lyme disease, it took me a year to get rid of it.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it's not easy.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So what did you do? What procedure did you follow?
What I did was I got sick of it after I was fiddling around with a little bit of oil of oregano and a few other things. I took a whole bottle of super strength oil of oregano, dumped it in a glass of water, one whole bottle, and I did that for about 7 days.
You didn't drink it?
And then, yeah, I did. I drank them all.
Oh, my goodness. Really? The whole bottle? Oh.
The whole thing. And then I took 120 gel caps of the oregano P73, and I divided it up into three doses. I pounded those down, 40 at a time. And then something called a Regarest, about 30 capsules twice a day. And then I got rid of most of the symptoms of the Lyme, and just in 1 week, you see. But
wow.
Here's the challenge. The Lyme, he's a tough boy. He burrows into the joints, in the cartilage, into the spinal column, into the skull, brain, and into the skin. He burrows. And he might be in there to the degree that the immune system and the oregano can't get him out. So I continued to have some problems with my joints for quite a bit longer time until I figured out how to root that out. It's all in the book. So what I did was I went back on massive doses, and I included a couple of other novel products, and I made a discovery. In order to get rid of the Lyme deep in the tissues, you can't just use oregano. It might work, but we found that you have to use wild sage. It was an old sage, yeah. And so the wild sage is poisonous to ticks. Isn't that interesting?
But not to you. It wasn't poisonous to you.
No, I used mountain sage. Now, you can't use the sage that grows in America. That could be toxic to humans in high doses. Animals can eat it, and that may be why some animals are more protected. They're eating these wild herbs in large quantities. We are not.
Mm-hmm.
But we can use the mountain sage. So if we were to get, say, North American makes Regarest and Bone Active, which are high in sage, those you can take with impunity because that's from the mountains of the Mediterranean.
Okay, so it's not just any mountain. I can't climb Mount McKinley to look for sage to heal myself from Lyme disease, you're telling me, right?
Yeah, you get the wrong species.
Or I go to the Rocky Mountains, and I probably wouldn't be able to help myself.
No, you get the wrong one. Because you couldn't take it in high doses.
Okay.
You have to have the village tea. You see, you have to know a little bit about the village person. He drinks oregano tea and mountain sage tea every day.
Wow.
The villager does.
Really?
So it's non-toxic. You see?
Right.
So anyway, I discovered how to eradicate the Lyme if it's burrowed into your system. And the Bartonella and Ehrlichia and all that. But now here's the other thing. Do you really want to get this beast?
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of deer ticks there, but you also have a lot of wood ticks. And now, unfortunately, wood ticks can transmit Lyme, not just deer ticks. So you want to do prevention. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely.
Because you live in the woods, don't you? Kind of.
Well, I don't live in the woods. I live close to the woods, yes.
Well, that's what I mean. So, I mean, think about it. We used to have tree houses, and we picnicked
right,
and roll around
right.
the grass, and nobody got Lyme. It's just ridiculous.
I know.
But, so, you can't even explain it. So now I'm telling people, you want to almost do a hazmat. If you're going to be out and around in tick zone, you have to wear long pants. You can't wear shorts in that environment.
You know what I like to do, Dr. Ingram?
Huh?
I like to run naked through the woods.
Well, that would be okay, because at least you can inspect yourself.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you could probably see them all crawling on your body.
Some areas I wouldn't be able to. Go ahead.
I understand. Now, so what I would do, I'd be having my long pants and, put your underwear on, and then I'd put my socks over my pant leg.
Really?
So you put those socks over, right? You know what I'm saying? Because the tick, he'll crawl up. He'll crawl up the leg. But you should also spray. Now, some people say, I'll use DEET. Okay, poison yourself, I guess so. I use an herbal spray that's more effective than DEET.
Hmm.
Like 10 times more effective.
What is that called?
And you could use Herbal Protect-X.
Huh.
Herbal Protect-X.
Suppose you don't know where to get that. You probably don't have any place where I could get that kind of stuff, right?
Well, I would try to send you a bottle from my own stock or something.
You say, but did they sell that? Did they sell that on the website or what?
Yeah, my website, actually. I'm not much of a salesman, but my website has a copy of my book with a bottle of Protect-X that people can buy it as a kit. Okay, so that's an option. But this is so effective that the tick won't want anything to do with you. First of all, he can't smell you, because you're going to end up smelling like a flower.
Hmm.
Okay? The second one is the tick hates it. If you have a bottle of Herbal Protect-X and you find a tick on and you keep spraying it in the tick's face, it'll kill it.
Really?
If the tick's burrowed into the dog and you spray that spray, it'll kill him.
Wow.
But the thing is, it's non-toxic to humans or to pets or something like this, or kids.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would do a heavy prevention. You know, did you know that 70% of all Lyme occurs within 100 yards of your house?
Really? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, people not paying attention. They pay attention. They know if they go hiking, they go in the woods, they know they're hunting, they know they have to inspect, but they don't realize that the mice, the dogs, the deer, they're dropping the ticks off, what have you, and the tick is under the leaves. You're doing leaving, you're doing twigging, you're doing mowing, you're doing whatever, gardening, and you have a lot of high weeds around the garden, and you're digging, and the tick comes on.
Wow.
You see?
Yeah, so. I haven't really had much in the way of any kind of ticks once in a while. Usually when we go through longer grass, and then we always inspect ourselves really well. But generally in the yard, I can't say that I've really run into that. I guess I don't let my grass grow up to my knees in my place.
Right. And the other thing to keep in mind is Michigan's not quite as extreme as Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Because it's a little colder up here, maybe?
Yeah, I think maybe. However, one has to keep an eye on it, and there are many cases of Lyme and many undiagnosed cases in your state.
Perhaps, huh? What are the symptoms of Lyme, again, if you could tell?
Well, it comes on with some fatigue and headache and pressure in the head, maybe, and fever and fluish and sickness, and nobody knows what it is, vague. And then pressure in the head, and then it could go into the joints. You could have burning up of the skin as it attacks the skin and releases its toxins. You could, you can have the Bell's palsy. It could present with paralysis. You could have half your body go paralyzed, tick paralysis.
Wow.
You could have like MS or Parkinson's type symptoms and tremor and shakes, and it could attack your brain and you didn't even know it was attacking you. And then it could go into the joints, into the knee, into the ankle, into the hip, maybe into the wrist, into the deltoid.
Now you make it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Dr. Ingram.
That's okay.
You make it sound like this was actually kind of a man-made disease.
Well, you have a real bizarre thing going on there. You have Plum Island releasing ticks infected with pathogens to see what it would do. To the people, certainly the animals, and see what would happen. And at the same time, Lyme disease broke out a few miles away from the lab.
Hmm. And that happened
downwind.
What year would that have been?
1973, 74, 75, in that era.
So before that, there never were any cases of Lyme disease?
No, well, not really. There were some in the East Coast, but they were still doing the research back then. But there wasn't any bullseye rash outbreaks, no. And so that was the novelty.
I'm going to throw this out, Dr. Ingram, because I know you've written some different books, some very interesting ones, and they're not all about, you know, healing. We've talked about your book Rigged and those kind of things, but I'm going to throw out that the government maybe has created some of the diseases, or maybe not the always our government, but somebody has created some of the diseases that exist out there. Do you buy into any of that?
Yeah, I know for sure that that's true. That we know that there is a germ that was sprayed by the federal government or whoever they are from battleships into San Francisco Bay, and now that germ has become pandemic. It was not a cause of disease prior to that. It's known as Serratia marcescens, caused the bladder and lung, killed a couple people, and it was traced to a so-called CIA black ops operation, and that's definitive, 1,000%, no argument. West Nile is another one. West Nile was created by the federal so-called government. I call it so-called because really it's run by big, big, powerful people, money-grubbing monopolists, like the Rockefeller Group. So what they did was they made the West Nile in the mosquito and released it. And then it got to Suffolk County, Long Island, and killed some horses. From there, it went to New York and killed some people. So there's no way you're going to have.
Is that done, if what you're saying is true, was that done so they could get us to spend money on vaccinations or different treatments? Was that part of the reason, you think?
Well, you don't know. You have a couple of real loose guns like Bill Gates going around saying that he wants to reduce the global population.
Oh.
And he's using vaccines to do it. So you have some loose cannons. And mostly you never know the secret agenda, but he's a real loudmouth. So,
really?
So we do know now that there's a eugenics component to this.
Interesting.
And some of it's just arrogant stupidity, where they probably didn't expect the West Nile to get out to that degree and to kill some people, and then it did. Then it went across the country. You know?
What about some people have said that, like, the Ebola was a laboratory?
Yes, that Ebola is a man-made and man-manipulated. And AIDS has a lot to do with vaccinations, contaminated vaccines. And then lymphoma. Lymphoma was very rare in Victorian times. And so we now know that lymphoma is mostly due to vaccination.
Mm.
Leukemia was also quite rare. And we now know that 9 of 10 poor, suffering leukemia children were vaccine-induced.
Wow.
So you know, these are the definitive things. Then you have suspicious things like various types of cancers that have been correlated to, you know, dioxins and also certainly vaccination. But it's a disaster.
But the good news is, and you know, you talk about oil of oregano. What is the name of that mushroom that also that
wild chaga we were talking about, that one.
And then, you know, I've uncovered that there are, you know, amazing companies out there as well, like Manatech, that makes a product called Ambertose. Remember I told you about that?
Which
helps with cell-to-cell communication. And I've witnessed people heal themselves from cancer completely. So the good news is for people that there are products out there that I only talk about the ones I truly, truly have seen work. And what Dr. Cass Ingram is talking about, I haven't seen it with Lyme disease, but I've seen your oil of oregano work extremely well for colds or even just like, I don't know, just several different things. The oil of oregano.
Well, you use it for sinus, bronchial congestion, histamine.
Yeah.
Reactions. Certainly.
Even if
certainly
I have
things like,
so, you know, I used to have sensitive gums, and you know, you might take some Listerine or whatever. But I put that in my mouth, and actually, I haven't had any sensitive gums in a long time. So it probably killed
Isn't
every.
That
it killed every germ that was in there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing left. The only thing.
They all surrendered. Mm-hmm. They all surrendered, I think.
I think so.
Because that stuff's strong.
But I mean, you are right. Like, if you had pyorrhea, or if you had an abscess tooth or root canal problem, pain, toothache, you'd use the same oil of oregano topically. And then, of course, what if a person got diarrhea or E. coli or a spastic colon or irritable bowel or an attack or a stomach ache or temporary intestinal flu? You got to know about the edible oil of oregano, and perhaps the OregaMax is the 1-2 punch for that. So even though we're talking Lyme, people probably should look at the cures in the cupboard and the Lyme disease cure if they really want to study, bind those together, and get to become an expert on these things. Now, back to Lyme, I do know now I have 100 cases, tough cases in Pittsburgh and other areas and hot zones of Wisconsin, up in northern Minnesota, who are following my protocol, and many of them have become like cured or in remission from the Lyme disease. So it's just another germ, a tougher one. So just as you saw it work for cold and flu and bronchial and diarrhea, it so works for Lyme disease, the oregano.
Mm-hmm. And there's more than just the oil of oregano. You said there's the pill form. What exactly is that?
The protocol that I use is the oil of wild oregano super strength along with OregaResp, R-E-S-P, which is desiccated oil of oregano, cumin, cinnamon, and sage. I also frequently have them take the so-called juice of oregano, an ounce twice a day in the basic protocol, the OregaMax capsules, at least those four. Now, if they have an extremely difficult case, we move into the other protocols in the book. I don't want to complicate it for people, so let's just say you got to have the oil, you have to have the juice, you have to have the OregaMax, you have to have the OregaRes. Those are the bare minimum. Now, you probably want to take a probiotic, you want to look at fish oil, you want to look at different things along to support that.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll get all that information by... Look, I've got the book, you've got the money, we make a marriage.
Jeez.
What are you going to do? So, time to drop the bomb. You know, get rid of the stupid symptoms of MS, Parkinson's, tremor, epilepsy, nervousness, inflammation, joint sequelae, weakness of the shoulder, weakness of half the body, Bell's palsy. Get rid of it.
What about those actual diseases you're talking about? Can oil of oregano help those actual, like, is there something that can help Parkinson's? Or
yes, it's the same thing. Parkinson's is a lot of, now, not every case. Some cases, different ones, like, are caused mostly by pesticides and herbicides. But many cases of Parkinson's is infection of the brain stem. See? And so, therefore, you have to root the infection out to get into remission. And that's where you go to the oil of oregano, the juice, that same protocol would be effective. Now, some cases are outright due to Lyme. Some cases of MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia, and certainly Bell's palsy, and certainly half-body paralysis, that Lyme is the perpetrator. You will not get well, and the same with some epilepsy and some chronic depression and some chronic headaches. You have to root the Lyme. In some cases of cardiac, there's such a thing as cardiac Lyme, as you know.
No, I didn't. Yeah. But thank you for assuming
that
I did. You
can even get on crazy. You can even get lockjaw, PMJ lockjaw, seized up jaw from Lyme disease.
See, I don't think you would ever get that.
Well, you do because it attacks the cartilage.
I'm just saying, you. I can't see your jaw. I'm kidding. You got a good sense of humor too. That's what I like about you, Cass.
Well, you got to laugh at yourself and somebody else at the same time. I'm a big fan of getting after it. Not sitting around being sick and going from doctor to doctor and taking 400 years of antibiotics. If you're sick like dog, get your diagnosis, maybe get your Igenex test, or if you have a presumptive diagnosis, get the book. Follow now, the protocol. And,
those people that go the route of medicine, let's say they go to their doctor and they get antibiotics, what do antibiotics do to your body?
Well, the problem is they suppress the immune system, and then they allow the fungus to overgrow. You got my drift?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to wipe, they wipe out all the good bacteria, they jam up the liver, and all of a sudden you get full of fungus. That's why I didn't take the antibiotics. That's why I just did the natural. I didn't want to have all this candida, the whole yeasty-beastie syndrome. What a disaster that is.
Right.
That's just as bad as the stupid Lyme. So that's the problem, yeah. And that's why I tell people if you're going to do the antibiotic therapy for Lyme, you should do the oregano along with it, you know?
Right.
And probiotics and stuff, yeah.
So the more natural you can take, and all the cases you've studied or people you've dealt with in your own experience, nobody has ever had issues with oil of oregano or those type of products.
The only side effect is they get well. Now, that might be a problem for some morose people, but so now, wait a minute. If they're taking really good oregano P73, there are no issues. But some people don't know, and they buy the imitations and the stuff on the net or what have you, and everybody's flapping their jaws, and yet they get a reaction because it's not truly a wild, crude extract. So just know that. Follow the book, follow the website if you want to.
Why can't we grow that over here in controlled conditions?
Well, you got an iodine-rich sea mist over there and calcareous calcium mountains go up to 5,000 to 10,000 feet above sea level over that way. Huh? You have temperature at 85 degrees 9 months out of the year? No?
Yeah.
You can't grow it. You can grow stuff. Not bad, like thyme and some kind of marjoram, oregano, but it's not, it's not that powerful aromatic stuff.
So that's why it's so...
Stop for a minute. You have to go get the oil of oregano if you want to use oregano as a medicine. That's it. Yeah.
Right. Can't get the water of oregano. We don't want that.
The juice of oregano is good for Lyme.
We don't want
especially the neuro.
We don't want the milk of oregano neither, because that's not.
No, the milk of human kindness and all of it.
So,
but there, no, I'm a big fan, as you know, of the wild oregano. If I ever have any kind of pain or ache or irritation or allergy or reaction or fungus or toxicity, I'm on it. And I use it for chronic pain, too. I scrub it in the system.
Really? What do you mean by scrub it?
Yeah.
Scrub it in. What do you mean?
Well, I scrub. If I have a pain, like a spinal pain or a stiff back or a bum hip or a sprained ankle or something like a knee, I scrub the oregano oil. I scrub it onto the system.
So you rub it on your body with sandpaper. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, no, what I'm trying to tell you is I scrub it in aggressively. I rub it till it's like hot.
Okay.
You know, it's warm. And I'm putting it on. I rub it in good to get friction.
Really?
Friction works real good. Look, I had a guy who had elephantiasis. He had a lymphatic swelling. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah.
One whole leg was swollen like a balloon. So I had him take the super strength oil of oregano and scrub it in to that bum leg, and it killed that elephantiasis type syndrome.
Hmm.
Okay, so, yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
So that's how.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's got a lot of uses. It's got a lot of uses.
Lots, 101 uses. Call the company. Don't mess around. 1-800-243-5242, 800-243-5242. Give them a call. Ask them for the 101 uses sheets. Ask them for a literature packet. Hunt them down, oreganol.com. I'm not selling anything there, okay? So that's their own company. I don't get nothing from it.
You know, and I know we joke around a little bit, but anybody that hasn't heard Dr. Ingram before, I mean, he's got great credentials. He's been doing this for a long time. But I will personally say that I've used the oil of oregano, and that's why he keeps coming back on the show, because I truly believe it, what he's told me. You know, I've witnessed it firsthand. I've had colds, like I told you before, that just went poof. And I'll take the oil of oregano when I got a cold, and I will rub it up my nostrils. Now, I don't recommend that people do that, because it burns pretty bad. And then I'll take some and I'll put it under my tongue, and I might even put it at the end of my tongue and just let it seep in. And
yeah.
And then I'll hang on to that for as long as I can, and I'll tell you, it burns. But boy, I've had colds coming on, and they were gone, like within an hour.
Gone.
Completely.
It cooks it right out.
Yeah, it kills it. It kills the virus.
It kills it, it inhibits it, it destroys it, obliterates. And that's true also of E. coli and staph and MRSA. It's a godsend.
Yeah.
You see, and then this way one does not have to be concerned about infections anymore.
No. And one can trust in what you're saying, because, like I said, you were kind enough actually to send it to me, and it sat in my medicine cabinet for probably over a year before I really needed it. And my wife was having a shooting pain in her near her ear, and I figured, well, it's just maybe just some kind of virus. And she was going, "Oh my goodness, I got a tumor!" She was saying, "I said, I don't think you have a tumor." And so I rubbed some on there. Poof, gone.
Yeah.
And then, like poof, 2 weeks later, 2 weeks later, she had a shooting pain again. And I'm, you know, part of it could have been dehydration. But anyway, so I rubbed it on there, and it never came back. And every time,
look at that.
Yeah, and every time I've had a cold or a flu or whatever—not a flu, but a cold coming on. I take that stuff and just do about, gone.
You know? Kaput, it's a godsend big. Hey, is there a mom-and-pa health food store there or something that might stock that for people?
I don't know if they carry the P73. A friend of mine told me they might, because I told her about oil of oregano, and she said she went down to Healthway Nutrition, which is in Escanaba, and she picked some up. So I don't.
Okay.
I told her. I always tell people, make sure it says P73.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Healthway Nutrition. Harass them. Maybe you can harass them into carrying the Herbal Protect X. That would be a good thing for the community to have available, because this way we prevent the ticks from coming on, including dogs, by the way.
Yeah.
We spray under underbelly and between shoulder blades, but. But I'm a public health guy too, along with you here with this show, and I'm hoping that through this show people will become knowledgeable, and hopefully we'll be able to have an impact on preventing Lyme cases.
You know,
and
what,
if you do get Lyme, then take the oregano protocol. You know.
You know what I found was fascinating though, when you started to go into detail about what the vaccinations have caused. I've done shows before on vaccination poisoning, and there seems to be a connection to autism with that. Have you noticed that as well?
Yes, there seems to be a connection with autism. There's no question about that. The autism is a big pandemic. And it's definitely tick related.
It is.
Because it's not all tick related, but there can be a tick issue.
But what about the vaccination? Is it vaccination related too?
It's more vaccination related.
Okay. Can oil of oregano help somebody with autism? Could that help?
Yes, oil of oregano would help with autism. There's no question about it. You would rub it on the bottom of the feet. You rub it on the shins, and you take advantage of it that way.
Hmm.
So if you also give the Oregamax capsules and open them up and put them in the child's food, another thing that helps is cannabis extract. Cannabis extract is a very important natural medicine, and it is something that you should take advantage of, too.
I have a question. Is that your agent calling you, maybe? Is that your agent?
You know, I don't know. I don't think. I move away from that here. Yeah, yeah.
That maybe so, it was one of your many fans or something like that, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's whatever it is, it's not important. But maybe. So cannabis extract is known as hemphenol for the astute person that needs to be looking into it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, your website has a lot of that information, and your books have a lot of that information, right?
That's right. CassIngram.com and oregano.com. But, yeah, I would use the oregano. It's non-toxic for children. So there you go.
What about, and I have people that ask me this all the time, what about kids with attention deficit that are diagnosed with ADHD or whatever? Can this help kids that can't focus?
Yeah, I mean, if the kids can't focus, then, you know, they would be probably having fungal overload, or they have viruses that are overloading their systems, and those viruses are, you know, a problem. So those viruses from the vaccines can poison the system, and if you clear those out, then obviously the symptoms will improve.
And what would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend the oil, maybe some of the Oregamax capsules. Again, depends on the situation, but possibly the cannabis extract too, which is the one I'm talking about. The hemphenol is completely safe for children.
Right.
So small amounts, a couple drops twice a day would be effective.
And when you say cannabis, people hearing it, it's not Mary Jane. It's not like you're...
No, it's not marijuana. It's not marijuana at all. It's just the extract that is used, the cannabis extract that is used is not a marijuana extract. It's a extract from industrial hemp. And therefore, that would be totally safe to use. There's no THC in it, so that's something to look into. Now, sometimes when you're dealing with children, they have deficiencies. They could be deficient in B complex. They can be deficient in vitamin A. So we want to correct those deficiencies with whole food supplements. So sometimes I'll give the children something called Polar Power, and Polar Power is a fatty salmon oil, comes in a liquid, and I'll give them a teaspoon a day for their immune systems.
And that is for the kids that are suffering from attention deficit you're talking about, right?
That is right. That is right.
And what kind of results do you see with that? Can you see with that?
Well, with that, you usually see the results of, you know, if you get them more calm, they're not so irritable, they're not so spastic, especially if you take out the infectious component, you see.
Okay.
When you have the infection in there, in the brain, in the brainstem from the vaccines or from Lyme, you cannot get them well until you kill down that infectious agent.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
And then when you give the fatty salmon oil, the Polar Power, that's another highly beneficial natural medicine. Yeah. So.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating because, you know, people will maybe listen to this and they'll think, well, I always thought medicine. I know a lot of people are kind of seeing medicine maybe as not as drugs as being, you know, a major issue, but they still will trust their doctors, and I'm not knocking doctors, and they still will believe what they're told, and, you know, in a way, this challenges them to think outside the box, to not be afraid to maybe look at some other alternatives that other people have tried, because that's the biggest step, isn't it? Don't you think, Dr. Ingram? People, they're afraid to step away from what they've always been told.
Well, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that is right. Yeah.
So, you know, and the thing about the oil of oregano, the P73, it's like $20-some a bottle. And that little bottle, it lasts me a long time. Now, if I was really sick, maybe it wouldn't. Now, what about this super P73? What does that run for?
That runs about $29.99 or about $39.99 for a full bottle. Yeah.
And I guess if you're sick, when you were sick like you were, you probably spent a little bit of money using all that stuff, right, to get healthy again, right?
That's right. That's right.
Probably cost you, a few thousand bucks maybe? I don't know.
I Yeah, it had to be a couple thousand, yeah.
And I look at it as invest a couple thousand in your health or be sick with something for years or maybe never recover from it. And
that's right.
The same thing with, like, my friend that had cancer, and I got Ambertose and some Emanitec problems for him, and I spent a couple thousand bucks. But had he stayed with it, because almost immediately he had amazing results. His body started to heal. He started to gain weight. He started to eat again. You know, he was pooping a lot, let's put it that way. And he was, his color was coming back, and the pain from the cancer was going away. And this was all in the course of a month. And then his doctor said, well, your PSA reading is a little high. And we don't know what this stuff is doing to your body that you're taking. And it's like, you just had a look at the guy. You could tell he was getting better, but he stopped taking it, and he lived another 6 months. My point on it is that $2,000 for me was...
I got to go. I got an emergency here. I'm sorry. I got to go.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ingram. You have a wonderful day. That's Dr. Cass Ingram. He had an emergency come up, but you can check out his website. And I'm not asking anybody to do something that you don't feel comfortable doing. You know, it takes a while for people to separate and move away from what they consider modern medicine. And I'm not saying that you have to give that up completely. If you still want to see your doctor, I'm sure Dr. Ingram would agree with me. But there are other choices out there, and people have healed from them. And if we don't at least look at it, we'll never understand. And like he said about Lyme disease, I'm kind of thinking maybe that was something that was created and maybe not intentional, but how many things get out of the lab and then we have to deal with them? I've got these Asian, these little ladybugs that still are around, and that's because they brought them into this country for some reason, and now they're like all over the place, and they're not like the friendly little ladybugs. They bite you. If you try to grab them, if you squish them a little bit, they smell, and they don't seem to go away. So there's new things that are introduced to us, and like he said, prevention is probably the way to go. But that's up to you. And I never would, I would never recommend something that I haven't tried myself as well. And if you choose not to, that's good. Do whatever you think is best for you. Peace, love, and joy. And I hope everything's good with Dr. Ingram. Take care. Thank you for listening.